Hello, welcome to the IMVX podcast. This is a podcast from IMVX, the digital learning wing of IIM Bangalore. IMVX is a value and service-driven initiative by the Indian Institute of Management, Bangalore. It's founded with the goal to offer quality education to aspirants from all backgrounds and regions. IMVX creates online courses with the experienced faculty from IIM Bangalore, and these courses are delivered to a global audience through the edX platform, the IMVX platform, and the Government of India's Swayam platform. In a series of bite-sized conversations with individuals working in the IMVX team, as well as professionals and teachers engaging with the online learning ecosystem, we would like to explore the dynamics of e-learning space one idea at a time. If you are curious and excited about the online learning space, then this podcast that encompasses the experiments, findings, success, failures, learnings and questions that the IMVX team would like to share with the world is for you. The synergy between education and technology through an online mode of teaching and learning has evolved steadily over the past decade. However, the position of online education has mostly been complementary in nature to the mainstream traditional mode of education until the outbreak of COVID-19 a year ago. In today's episode, we have with us Ms. Shweta Govindan, who is a Pedagogical Research Associate at IMVX. Shweta will be talking about the e-learning market and what it can offer to both course creators and learners in the post-COVID context. Hi Shweta, welcome. Nice to have you with us.
Hi CP, thank you for having me today.
So before we dive into the discussion about e-learning market, for the benefit of our audience, could you please brief us on what is e-learning?
So e-learning is any learning arrangement such as massive open online courses, blended learning programs or online instruction that makes the use of information and communication technologies such as PCs, mobile phones, and the internet. These learning arrangements can be used across various levels of education, such as primary, secondary, or even vocational training. Mm-hmm.
But what is the motivation for the learners to take up online courses?
There are multiple reasons why learners choose online education, especially in this current environment. The pandemic has made it a lot more popular. But even before, e-learning was a convenient way to upskill and improve employability and exposure to knowledge without having to commit a tremendous amount of money and physical presence as in the case of traditional learning arrangements.
Yeah, true.
A lot of learners who are employed or working find the flexibility of online learning useful. Mm-hmm. And apart from that, current movement restrictions and remote working options has motivated learners to sign up for courses that are not purely technical. For instance, personal development, leisure and hobbies making up a big chunk of e-learning. Additionally, access to universities with big brands may not be available to a lot of people except on online platforms. And the limited access to secondary degrees in rural areas or lower quality of offline education in some regions has made this a very attractive option.
Okay, I completely agree with you. Could you also tell us about what is the market share that's occupied by the e-learning sector?
According to a study by KPMG and Google India, India's online education market was set to grow at $1.96 billion in 2021 from $247 million in 2016. Most of this tremendous jump and boom comes from the reskilling and certification platforms such as edX, Coursera, Udemy, and so on.
Okay.
But we're also noticing an increase in the market share occupied by test prep platforms and supplemental education for primary and secondary students, like Byju's.
Okay.
The change in landscape of edtech and online education has two different sides, in my opinion. One, we see this sudden rise in test prep for learners to get into higher education spaces and higher educational institutes like IMB setting up MOOCs and blended learning programs to reach to a wider learner base. So it's interesting to see how the market will transform over the years. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of research needed to see how this affects different set of learners.
But I guess these numbers are from a research conducted in a pre-COVID scenario, right? But if we extract the same kind of data in a post-COVID scenario, I believe that the picture would be entirely different. What is your thought on this?
Yeah, there still haven't been as many studies on the post-COVID context. So we'll have to wait and watch.
Yes, I completely agree with you. And, you know, as you were mentioning before, there are different kinds of e-learning segments in the market. There's primary, there's secondary, college level, and also vocational and test prep, right? But now let's narrow it down to what IMB specializes in, which is a higher education sector.
Yes, IMBX fits into the higher education segment of e-learning. Most of our courses are highly specialized and offered at a postgraduate level, although there are some undergraduate level courses. Our target group of learners are highly self-motivated and they belong to a particular organization looking to upskill their talents. So it's a very different segment of learners. Most importantly, we have an arrangement with the MHRD or the Ministry of Education with our SWIM partnerships.
Yes, yes. I'm sure all these partnerships and associations that we have really add value to our offerings. But apart from this, what else do you think is unique about IMBX?
So first and foremost, IMBX has IIMB as an accreditation partner. Not all edtech companies who work in the higher education space can claim the same, and it's actually pretty difficult to get accreditation. But apart from that, let's look at what learners actually want from an institute, or rather an online learning space. They want value for money, certification, employment, and continuous learning. It's not very different from what they want from a traditional institution.
Exactly.
And this directly informs our values at IMBX, and that is to make a real impact. We don't treat our learners as customers. We respect that they're all on their journey to improve their skill set, knowledge, and we are here to offer our technical expertise, faculty, and design to assist them in the process.
I completely agree with you. You know, when anything and everything can go on the internet, credibility and accountability go a long way. And our association with a premier institution like IMB is really advantageous to us. And coming back to the variety of courses that we have in this sector, do you see a pattern in terms of popularity of courses? I'm sure COVID-19 also would have impacted learners' interest in different subjects, right?
So I recently read an article that did a study on pre-pandemic and post-pandemic courses that learners were engaging with. And pre-pandemic, they saw a lot of learners choosing technical courses such as computer science, programming, data science, and so on. But after the pandemic, they moved to areas such as personal development, humanities, art and design, self-improvement. I suppose the shift can be explained by the expanding learner base. And as more and more learners, you know, sort of take to online education, they want to choose courses that are more familiar, that start at a lower level and then build up from there.
I completely agree with you. I also believe that, you know, the lockdown and the pandemic has given them a lot of time to think and reflect that. I think most of us, right? I think I'm sure there are a lot of people who are really pursuing their interests right now. Whereas earlier, we were mostly driven by what was employable and you know, what was profitable. Whereas now it's mostly what really pleases the heart. Right. But that's a lot of interesting information, especially the comparison between pre-COVID and post-COVID courses that the learners were engaging in. And so what do you think about the focus for organizations or institutions who are engaging in this space, creating new content every day? What do you think should be their focus?
One of the key challenges that online educators need to focus on is whether they want to provide customized experiences or go with a standardized set of courses. Mm-hmm. And also, most importantly, how to use learner data effectively and responsibly. As online learning platforms, we have a lot of access to data, whether it is in terms of learner engagement, behavior, what they like and don't like about a course. So in what way can we actually use that to, you know, change things about our courses? But also, how do we do that in a very responsible manner? And finally, we need to balance the low barriers to entry and the high quality of education. Given that not much certification is required to sign up for an online course, we need to balance that with the quality of education that is required to offer. High quality education requires higher level of assessments, a lot more engagement from the faculty, and so on. So how do we balance these two?
Couldn't agree with you more, Shweta. These are some really serious points for the players in this market to think about. Could you also tell us what the e-learning space has in stores for the learners who are seeking knowledge and exposure through the online medium? So what kind of engagement do you expect to witness?
So some of the key trends that we can observe is that hybrid pedagogies are here to stay. Some form of blended learning program will be a key focus of most institutions, given the challenges that the pandemic has thrown out, but also the opportunities that it has thrown up. A lot of short-term courses in niche subjects such as big data and artificial intelligence will gain a lot more popularity and have already gained a lot of popularity. But also the nature of those courses lends itself well to online learning because most of the learning is done on computers. In terms of learner engagement, gamification is the next big trend, and a lot more courses are trying to incorporate simulations and games into their courses to keep their learners engaged, especially in this very distracting world. And finally, institutions and universities will probably unbundle value-added services, that is, offer online education but also offer offline internships or residency programs at their traditional physical campuses.
Wow, that's great. There's really a lot in store for an online learner. Thank you, Shweta. It was an insightful talk. Thank you for joining.
Thank you for inviting me. I learned a lot through this process as well.
Thank you for listening to the IMVX podcast. If you liked this episode, please make sure to follow us for more interesting content.